And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
Happy St. Paddy's Day. May the luck of the Irish be on your side as you get ready for your fantasy playoffs. Brought to you by our good friends over at Skip. It's time for another episode of NHL Fantasy on Ice, Week 22, Waiver Wire Edition. It's Nick Alberga and Jake Hahn. What's going on, Jake?
I'm ready for fantasy playoffs, Nick. I need a little bit of that luck of the Irish, maybe a pint of Guinness as well to get me going to start the week. So happy to be here as always. And this episode is brought to you by Skip. Skip to the good part and get groceries, meals, and essentials delivered right to your door on Skip.
Ironically enough, I think there is an element of luck involved in fantasy hockey playoffs. What's the biggest piece of advice you'd give to a fantasy owner getting ready to embark on this journey here?
Well, I think it's simple advice. It's just do what got you here in the first place, right? Don't change anything. Obviously, you're going to have to look towards the waiver wire. If you're down late on a weekend, I mean, you got to go for it. Don't be afraid to drop one of your better players. If he's done for the weekend and you're down a couple categories on a Saturday or Sunday, I mean, you're going to be eliminated either way, right? So I think you can't be afraid to make those moves once we get there. But I think early in the week, Nick, just play it like you would a normal week. Maybe be a little bit more careful with the goaltenders. But if you had a good regular season, don't overthink it. It's just the fantasy playoffs. Nothing really changes here. It's not like real hockey where the playing style changes. It's still the same game. So stay patient early in the week and then see where you are in the weekend would be my best advice.
I would say throw patience out the window, just echoing what Jake's saying right there. But also, it's my favorite time of year. You know why, Jake? We talk schedule manipulation.
Yes.
And I look at San Jose, I look at Detroit. If you're an Alex DeBrincat owner, he's been on fire since the trade deadline. You're not feeling very good right now because that team plays just twice this week. Again, so does San Jose. And that kind of stinks when guys are on fire.
Yeah, two-game week, and you talk about a guy being on fire. How about Will Smith out in San Jose? He's been excellent. A nice little waiver pickup for myself a couple weeks ago, but then I look at the schedule, fantasy playoffs, okay, only two games this week. Is it worth keeping him on my roster? So those are the debates you're going to have. Like you said, Detroit, San Jose, the only two-game teams, but a lot of teams with four games. I think that you could take advantage of the schedule, and that's why we're here. That's why PDJ is here. This is an important time for PDJ's waiver wire pickups here, Nick.
And March Madness just around the corner. Producer Bob Bender even on occasion here today. Always great to see. But we got Pete Jensen coming up. Week 22 waiver wire options. Chris Meaney for On the Money, brought to you by Bet365. And it's been a rough go of things, Jake, for the New Jersey Devils over the past month, making it official. Dougie Hamilton done for the season, and I call this Luke Hughes breakout season. Would you agree?
Well, I mean, we go back to, and we actually have a file on what the Devils are like without Dougie Hamilton, right? Because we saw it for so long last season, and it probably was partially due to them missing the playoffs, and we saw a lot of young defensemen maybe have to play outside their rules a little bit or step up a little too early in their careers. Well, and now we're a year later in this thing. I think Luke Hughes, obviously his value goes up. I don't think there's anybody else on the back end, Nick, I'd have a ton of interest in, unless you got another name for me, but I think it's got to be Luke Hughes. If you're a Dougie Hamilton owner, at this point of the season, there's really nothing you could do, right? You just kind of have to eat it. You hope you can find something on the waiver wire. Defensemen can be very tricky, as we know. If you can maybe find somebody that's sneaking a little bit of power play time back there, That's the look. I'd look to maybe like a Jared Spurgeon. I've mentioned Darren Radish a few times on the show, getting some looks on that Tampa Bay power play. But outside of that, pretty tough to mind value on the fantasy back end.
I would concur. Simone Nemec is a guy who has been on my radar since he was drafted. It's been a turbulent start to his NHL career, but he would be on my periphery. I think this is Luke Hughes' car now. He's got the keys to it. And I think the offensive breakout could transpire here to wrap up the season for the Devils, who, Jake, I counted them out. I mean, they're still in that fight. Obviously, they're in a playoff spot as we have this conversation. But as you talked about, there's a variety of other guys on that roster who can help out offensively. You talk about external options again when it comes to Dougie Hamilton. Philip Hronek's on my radar. Yeah. Darren Radish, a guy you've gave a shout quite a bit here to Tampa. And Jared Spurgeon. But I think in general, your overall view of the New Jersey Devils fantasy-wise down the stretch here.
Fantasy-wise, I'm not giving up on the Devils, Nick. I know you mentioned Luke Hughes on the back end, obviously going to get an opportunity here. Even goaltending, I don't mind moving forward. There's something about losing your star player in pro sports and having other guys step up. Now, some rosters aren't built like it. Some rosters just don't have anybody else that can step up, but the Devils actually do. We've seen Jesper Bratt have a couple of big games since Jack Hughes goes down. Timo Meier, I know I called for him on a previous episode. It's got to be Timo time again. Hasn't really popped, but he's had a couple moments here recently, so I actually still think there's enough in this roster fantasy wise Nick, where they probably wouldn't be top of my list, but I think there's enough value that you could still attack some Devils over the next few weeks. What do you think? Are you giving up on the Devils yet?
No, I'm not giving up. I think it's going to be harder to score, but I like the fact again that a guy like Luke Hughes is steadily available on the waiver wire, and there's going to be production. There's guys up front who score, so I'm definitely dabbling in on that front. But I think it's important to encourage, you know, that mentality in the fantasy hockey playoffs, where again, we're going to talk a lot about teams that are on the outside looking in that are not going to make the playoffs, who are going to provide some insane value down the stretch for fantasy owners. And you also can't forget teams on the bubble, like the New York Rangers, Jake. You got Adam Fox back over the weekend. How would you tackle that team moving forward?
Oh, the Rangers are very interesting. They keep teasing me a little bit. Like they win a couple games and I'm like, okay, are we gonna get this little Rangers run here? And they're sort of that team. If I was a top team in the East, I would not want to see make the playoffs. I don't want to see Igor Shesterkin and a fairly healthy Rangers team in that first round if I was a top seed. So I think a lot of those top teams should be rooting for them not to make it and maybe get more of an inexperienced team in there. But fantasy wise, I think there's some interesting files here. There's some guys that really haven't been going in New York, Nick. Namely, Alexis Lafreniere, who finally scored over the weekend. So it was good to see him kind of maybe break out a little bit. Can we get Will Cooley going? Like, we know who the top guys are in the Rangers, but in terms of trying to scoop someone off the wire, is there anybody there on the peripherals that could help us out?
Well, that's exactly where I was going to go. Cooley and Lafreniere, you know, I was laughing in a keeper league. I saw Chris Kreider on the waiver wire. Like, I think you're actually going to find value in some of these vets down the stretch, specifically with the New York Rangers. And you know, I think important to note, too, in fantasy hockey, you're looking for that value. A lot of these bubble teams, man, it's going to be playoff-style hockey. We're not going to see a lot of offense. I don't know if you agree with that. And I know we're going to talk more about the betting landscape with Chris Meany coming up. But I think I start to favor more of the unders this time of year, too.
Well, I have noticed a lot of those playoff style type games, especially starts to the games, like you mentioned, a really, you know, grinded out first period, low event, not a lot of power plays either as well. I think teams are trying to stay disciplined, obviously try to stay out of the box, which is something we talk about all the time in postseason hockey. So I'm going to throw this at Meany when we get him on a little bit later, but those first period unders, it feels like there's a bit of that feeling out process between these two teams and some important games down the stretch. And there's still so many teams, Nick, in it. In the Eastern Conference. I don't know if you could help me figure it out at all, who you think is going to make it out of this mess of teams. It does feel like Ottawa's kind of separated a little bit and said, yeah, we look like we're going to be a playoff team, but there's still another spot there up for grabs.
Lots to play for down the stretch. There's a variety of different teams still in the mix, and I'm also very intrigued by the great chase. Alex Ovechkin needs 8 goals in the final 15 games. Why does it feel inevitable? Like, this guy's got to score half a goal a game down the stretch, and like, we're just chalking it up like he's going to do it, right?
It does feel inevitable. It's felt inevitable for a while, Nick, but I will say, like, he might take this right down to the wire. We could be talking last couple games, and you could throw out the window the Alex Ovechkin rest conversation. If the record is still there to be broken, he is obviously going to play in the games. Now, it'd be great for Washington if he breaks the record with, you know, 2 or 3 games to spare, and they could actually give him a little bit of rest before the playoffs. I think that would be perfect scenario for the Caps, but he's going to play until that record is broken, Nick, and I think it's a win-win either way. We either get to see him break the record and we go into the playoffs with this great story around the league and, okay, are the Capitals going to win a cup, or he finishes 1 or 2 away and all offseason we can hype it up going into next year's season. So to me, it's a win-win, but I want to see him do it in dramatic fashion at the end of the year.
It's funny, how many years have Alex Ovechkin owners been annoyed by owning this guy late in the season because of the R&R down the stretch leading up to the Stanley Cup playoffs? That's my biggest pet peeve. If you're in a fantasy league and you go right down to the wire to finish up the regular season and guys, load management, are sitting out for the actual Stanley Cup playoffs, it's always the worst. But yeah, I want to see what Ovechkin does. And I'm very curious by that conversation because they've had such an incredible season. If you're going to rest your guy who is hunting greatness right now, and the intrigue lives on there. Let's get now to Pete Jensen. Let's look firstly at the schedule for this week, Jake. March 17th to 23rd here. We got 52 games in total, 5 Monday, 9 Tuesday, 2 on Wednesday, 14 Thursday, 1 Friday, 14 on Saturday, and 7 on Sunday. The four-game teams, important to stress here, from a schedule manipulation standpoint, Boston, Buffalo, Calgary, Chicago, the Kings, Nashville, Philly, St. Louis, Tampa, and Toronto. And then as we talked about off the top, the two-game teams, Detroit and San Jose, you want to stay away from pickups there.
Well, this is kind of your house account, Nick. I think Toronto has one of the best schedules this week going into fantasy playoffs. Four-game week, a couple of the off nights. I'm actually going to that game Wednesday against the Colorado Avalanche. There's only two games that night in the NHL. So you're going to want some guys in your lineup on those games. Looks like we're probably going to get two Wall, two Stolarz starts if you're an owner of either of those goaltenders as well. Is there anybody, any complimentary pieces there? I know Berube's been shifting the lines quite a bit recently, trying to find some combos that work, and some of the top guys like Austin Matthews really aren't popping right now. But anybody in Toronto that we can maybe scoop off the wire here with a good week?
Two guys that come to mind, and again, you just talked about the lines have been all over the place the last little while, but Max Domi's been playing with Austin Matthews and Bobby McMahon. Don't sleep on that name this week specifically. He's been very, very cold. I think it's 12 or 13 games without a goal. I'm calling my shot. I think he scores against Calgary coming up on Monday for the Toronto Maple Leafs. He's bringing Pete Jensen. Week 22, Petey. What's happening first and foremost? I'd love your thoughts on the fantasy playoffs and sort of your advice you would give to fantasy owners here.
So first off, want to give a shout out to the St. Louis Blues. I think this team is playing a bit over its head. It's helped with Binnington coming back with a bang from the Four Nations, but really it's a very deep forward group, a stealth trade earlier in the year. Cam Fowler, I love him this week. He's on power play one in the top pair. The St. Louis Blues have four games this week, all favorable. They play Nashville twice. I love their schedule, and they have the most favorable schedule the rest of the season. So the St. Louis Blues should be on everybody's radar right now.
Well, you mentioned Cam Fowler being on your radar this week, Pete, and very important to try to find some value on the back end, especially for myself who just lost Dougie Hamilton, so I need this help. But another defenseman ended up on your list here, guy I've brought up a few times, Darren Radish. So you're on board the Radish train with me, Pete.
I am. He's one of those guys that has stepped up. You know, Hedman's played most of the season, extremely heavy workload. He needs some support behind him. They don't have Sergachev anymore. Darren Radish is an edge stat standout. He has a hard shot, and he has trickled in points throughout the second half of the season when he's been in the lineup. Sees some power play one usage, but Tampa Bay rolls three really strong lines. Remember, after the Gord trade and the Bjorkstrand trade, their forward group is dynamite. Thankfully, Nikita Kucherov is okay, so the Stanley Cup futures window remains open after that little injury illness scare last week.
Pete, I want to get to Seattle. I want to circle back to my question. Biggest piece of advice you would give to fantasy owners in the playoffs?
Play the schedule. I mean, look for those weekend back-to-backs. There are a bunch of teams that have them this week. I think that, you know, St. Louis, again, I like their schedule. Look at the toughest schedules. You were saying two games this week for Detroit. They also have the toughest schedule remaining for the rest of the regular season. So that's no good. Already a team I don't fully trust to make the playoffs at the end of the day. But yeah, most remaining back-to-backs, a bunch of teams have four left: Toronto, Carolina, Florida, Vegas, Buffalo, and Columbus. And Columbus is another interesting team. They play on Monday. Look for those Monday, Wednesday, Friday schedules, because everybody in your lineup's going to be playing on Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. So try to target those couple of guys, including Columbus this week. And one of their guys, Matthew Olivier, is actually quietly third in the NHL in hits. And he also has 15 goals this year, so he should be a lineup lock this week.
I love that guy. I can throw him as well. But we're all over Seattle this week as well, right?
Right. We have Eli Tolvanen. We had a fan comment that I liked. I know a lot of their guys have been inconsistent this year outside of the defensemen. Like, Montour's had a great season, and Vince Dunn, when he's healthy, is always productive. But in terms of the forwards, there was one fan that said, I only trust Eli Tolvanen as a streamer from the Seattle Kraken. And it's a fair point, right? Look at Kako, hit or miss. Jaden Schwartz, hit or miss. All these different guys, a little hit or miss. I will make one exception, though. Jordan Eberle has been red hot since coming back from injury. It was a long-term injury. He's coming back. He's fresh. And he's had a bunch of points, I think six in his past four games or something to that ilk.
Speaking of Jordan Eberle, someone he's always been tied to for a long time, ends up on your list here, Pete. It can be hard for me to keep track of which team Taylor Hall plays on in the NHL, but it's 2025, and we still have some value with Taylor Hall in fantasy. He's kind of cooking out there in Carolina, right?
Yeah, a little stability for him. He's only been traded once this year. But yeah, Taylor Hall is playing on the second line. I think that it's a good spot for him. I think that Carolina is a very safe team with their possession style, and good to see him in the middle six, not in the bottom six, you know. So I think that Taylor Hall's starting to heat up here. He's got the elite pedigree from the past. And then there's also that kind of element where people are looking at Carolina as a non-contender for the Stanley Cup, which is something that I don't necessarily agree with. I still think that the path is pretty favorable for them in the Metropolitan Division compared to, say, if they played in the Atlantic or if they played in the Central. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely. And I think along the lines of fantasy, too, we talked about it. We like teams that are not going to necessarily make the playoffs but will provide us some value. And I keep circling back to the Anaheim Ducks. Cutter Gauthier is on your list this week.
He is. He's been scoring, playing with Mason McTavish. Nice shot volume. We were high on him in the preseason. There are a couple of rookies out there that we were high on in the preseason that started slow. He's one of them. Will Smith is another. I just think that Cutter Gauthier, when you look at the edge stats, like he, out of all those Anaheim guys, he checks almost every box. He has an extremely high ceiling next season and moving forward, and you're starting to see a glimpse of it here. Anaheim's falling out of the wild card race, unfortunately, but at least you're starting to see those building blocks, and Cutter Gauthier is at the top of the list in Anaheim over any of those other guys that are 25 and younger.
Yeah, and at this point for these rebuilding teams, Pete, I think it's good to get these guys maybe some extra minutes down the stretch when the games are you know, I don't want to call any game meaningless, but you're kind of playing spoiler at that point, so you get them a few extra minutes. One guy that I found interesting on your list, Pete, if you've played for the Minnesota Wild this year, you've most likely been injured at some point, so we're always looking for somebody to step up in that lineup, and you've got Ryan Hartman only 4% owned on the list. That's pretty low for Ryan Hartman.
Yeah, I'll give Meany a shout-out. That's a recommendation from him. He said he's actually streaming Ryan Hartman this week in addition to Olivier, so that's the stamp of approval right there. But yeah, when you look at Kaprizov out, Eriksson Ek continuously banged up this season. I mean, he's one of the guys, other than the staples like Boldy, that has really like risen to the occasion here down the stretch and has been playing really well this month among the leaders on the Wild in a couple of key categories. So yeah, and he's just provided category coverage in the past. And when you look at the schedule also, when you get to Saturday and Sunday and you're ripping apart your roster, make sure you're not investing in a player that only covers points. Then if he falls flat, you get nothing. Get some guys that have 3+ hits or 3+ blocks and stuff like that, shots on goal, even if they don't score.
PD, producer Bob's always hitting me up. I need a save, Nikki. I need a save. Who are some goalies to look at here? Because you can stream a guy and he can win you a week here.
You can. The randomness of the fantasy playoffs, you're going to see some whacked out stuff. You're going to see a 4-game winning streak from Tristan Jarry. You're going to see a shutout from Peter Mrazek. I don't trust either of those guys. I will say Scott Wedgwood, very low roster percentage. He's been playing a lot for Colorado. I mean, you watch Colorado out there. That team is a definite cup contender. They made like 17 trades this year and gotten better, even though they lost Mikko Rantanen. And Wedgwood is a nice stopgap to kind of shuffle the deck for Joe Sakic and Jared Bednar on the back end. And they have Blackwood. He's been elite, but I like Scott Wedgwood a lot. And then also, who is the other one? I mean, there's a Vitek Vanacek. I know he lost on Sunday, but like I would trust him in a Saturday-Sunday stream. I think the Florida Panthers still have 4 remaining back-to-backs, which is tied for the most in the league.
I just got the handshake emoji from producer Bob, so he's feeling good about his fantasy roster here. Pete, great job. NHL.com/fantasy, where you can check out the entire Week 22 waiver wire list. It's now time for On the Money, brought to you by Bet365. It's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 or older. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has concerns about gambling, visit ConnexOntario.ca. As you bring in Chris Meany, means the theme of the podcast here, getting set for the fantasy playoffs. What's your biggest piece of advice you would give to fantasy owners?
Yeah, you guys have hit on a lot of it. Just really don't be married to your lineup. You're playing in a head-to-head format. It's all about beating your opponent, and you'll figure it out next week. And for me, I always look at my schedule, and I look at my opponent's schedule. You know, are they hurting on Wednesday and Friday? There's one game on Friday. There's a couple on Wednesday. I think to get the better of your opponent, you want to have some players. That's why I think Pete brought up Olivier, Hartman, right? If you stream Hartman, you have Monday, you have Wednesday. If you stream Olivier, if you stream Kent Johnson, you have, you know, a player going on Friday. Brian Rust maybe hanging around the waiver wire. You get Tuesday, you get Friday, you get Sunday. So everyone's going to have a stacked lineup on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturdays. Especially on Thursday and Saturday, you're going to have to make some very difficult decisions. Celebrini, you want to hold on to him? Sure, I get it. Will Smith, Jake mentioned it. He's been fantastic. If he's not going to get into your lineup on Tuesday and or Thursday and Saturday, then you may have to cut bait. But also don't, one thing I know a lot of people like to do, Nick, and Jake, you guys play a lot of fantasy hockey. Everyone likes to make their moves on a Monday. Try to hold a couple. You got four moves for the week. It's very important to hold a couple heading into the weekend. Things could change. Injuries can happen. You may need a goalie stream, as Pete mentioned, on the weekend. So that's what I like to do. I like to just target those light nights. And we have the cheat sheet over at nhl.com/fantasy to help you out with some of those scheduled games this week.
Meaning every league has that guy that uses three or four pickups on the Monday, and you see it and you're like, okay, well, those better work out, or you're going to be on the weekend and not have any pickups left. So I think that's really good advice. Anything goaltending related, how you handle your goaltender specifically early in the week? I think late in the week, once you get down, you can get a little bit more aggressive. It doesn't really matter who you start, but are you a little tentative? Like, for example, UPL tonight in Boston. Boston's not a team that scores a heck of a lot. Would you risk maybe starting him, or is that a okay, let's wait and see? I don't want to have UPL give up five or six goals on Monday night and just kill my goalie cats.
Yeah, it's a really good question, because a guy like that could really ruin your ratios Monday early on in the week. I'd probably roll him out against the Bruins. They've struggled to score, you know, all year long, and you hope that you get a W there. If you play in a league with saves, you can kind of, you know, get that category if some of your ratios are ruined early on. But yeah, maybe be a little cautious. You know, I have Jacob Markstrom in a league, and he's been struggling. I wonder if the Devils ride Jake Allen here. He's won his last couple of starts, a matchup against the Blue Jackets on Monday. You don't want your ratios ruined early on. So yeah, you can be selective, but for the most part, you know, everybody's in the same situation as you. You know, it's a lot of goalies, even good ones, been hot and cold all year long. Looking at Anthony Stolarz, he was fantastic, you know, for 90% of the season, and recently a little bit of a slump. So ride the guys that got you here, and you know, you can figure it out towards the end of the week.
Fellas, accountability is a big word for me. I'm in the cooler right now. I've been giving out losers on this podcast, so I apologize for that. We're going to try to bounce back. A lot of folks in our group chat here like the Buffalo Sabres tonight against the Boston Bruins. It's a running joke on this podcast, but a couple things I'll look at here means Philadelphia at Tampa. They played over last Thursday, took the over in that game. Going to take the over again. And why not ride Quinton Byfield? What, it's five in a row with a goal for him?
Yeah, Byfield, he had the overtime winner over the weekend. So yeah, he's been unbelievable. And if you look over at Bet365, I mean, you still get a pretty good number for Quinton Byfield, +110 just to hit the score sheet, to pick up a point tonight, guys. I believe he has goals in six straight here. So he's a player I'm looking at. You mentioned Tampa, and they've shuffled their lines a little bit. Anthony Cirelli finally had a goal. He had gone 10 straight games without a goal, two in his last game. He's playing in the middle of Kucherov and Hagel, and you could take that line for each of them to have a point at +210. How about Yanni Gourde as a sneaky little goal scorer at +350? I viewed him as the third line center, right? But John Cooper loves this guy. He really does. He's given him 17 minutes per game. He's averaging 15 in Seattle. He's now on the second line on the wing with Braden Point and Jake Guentzel. 3 points in his last two games. He had two helpers in his last one. He has seven shots in his past three as well. He's got 4 points in five games with Tampa, Jake. So, you know, pretty good value when you look at Anthony Cirelli and Yanni Gourde. It's just guys that are playing with really good players.
Well, yeah, and we talked a bit about the Devils earlier in the episode here, guys, and they're a team I'm going to continue to look to back here moving forward. Not the greatest of prices on Monday night. They're a slight favorite on the road against a pretty frisky Jackets team. So maybe it's not Monday night, but I think moving forward, I'm not going to be afraid to back the Devils. Maybe look towards the Timo Meier shot prop. I think he's going to continue to fire. I think Monday's actually probably a good matchup for that Timo Meier shot prop. Meany, I did mention the first period unders. I'm curious your opinion opinion on this and just how tight some of these games are getting. Lower scoring hockey, low event hockey this year as well. We're seeing shot totals down. We're seeing goal totals down. Do you have any explanation for that? And is that something you're interested in backing here down the stretch? Usually first period under is about 1.5 and you can usually get plus money for the under. I think that's something I'm going to be looking towards quite a bit here.
Yeah, you're a stronger man than me because I typically like to go the other way. But I think at this time of the year, you make some really good points because especially when you look at some of these teams in the Eastern Conference, there's like five or six that are going to be battling for a playoff spot here that are battling. And that final wildcard spot may not be won until like, the last day of certainly the last week of the season. So at this time of the season, you do see some tight hockey, some tight checking. I think it depends on the matchup, right? Like last night you saw the Blues. I'm sure they wanted to play tight checking and they just unleashed against the Ducks. You look at Tuesday night, the Canadians against the Senators, you know, both goalies in Allmark and Montembeau playing really good at the moment. I would lean potentially to the under early on in that game or overall in general. So yeah, it depends on the matchup. You get the Devils and the Blue Jackets tonight, tight game, but both teams are really struggling to keep the puck out of their net. I probably shy away from that. But Nick, I did want to give a little bit of love to the Devils. I mean, Jake's been asking for Timo Meier, right? And hey, you asked for it and you're getting it. I mean, Timo Meier has got points in three straight. He's got five goals now in the past 2 weeks. You look at Heischer and Meier for a point at Bet365 plus 135. Nico has a three-game point streak. And Nick, we talked about a lot of players that were traded. And I know why we didn't bring up Cody Glass, but what? Cody Glass, I mean, he's 4-1 to score a goal tonight. He's got two goals and 4 points in four games with the Devils. He's playing with Jesper Bratt, who has three straight games with 3 points. He's got three plus shots in three of his last four. He's plus 125 for three shots tonight. That's a sneaky guy to keep an eye on, not from a fantasy hockey perspective, but you're looking for some value in the betting market, playing with one of the hottest players at the moment in Bratt. Cody Glass is a guy to keep an eye on.
When I look back at this year's trade deadline, I'll remember it for Cody Glass and Mark Jankowski. We're trending that way. Like, Jankowski's on fire for the Carolina Hurricanes. Last one for me means, who's winning the Calder Trophy? I got a text over the weekend. It's Lane Hudson, right? But then I'm like, man, Dustin Wolf, and like, there's a love affair with Celebrini, and like, I don't think Michkov's out of it. Who would you pick right now? Take the Habs glasses off too, please.
Yeah, I mean, Dustin Wolf is certainly in the conversation. He doesn't get enough credit. Look at this Flames team. This is a team that I thought would be near the bottom of the standings at this point of the season, and what he is doing as a rookie goaltender, and the Flames don't score a lot. They're near the bottom in offense over the past couple of months, and if he could find a way down the stretch here to get the Flames into the playoffs, really basically because of him, I would say it'd be pretty close between him and Lane Hudson. I think it's Hudson's award. I really do. What he's doing, guys, is phenomenal. He leads all rookies in points and assists and power play points and ice time. And he's got this Canadiens team buzzing at the moment. They have the best record since the Four Nations faceoff. And if you want to look until mid-December, this is a team that's fifth in points percentage. The only team that has a higher points percentage than the Canadiens since mid-December are the Washington Capitals. So Lane Hudson is a big reason why the Canadiens are playing so well at the moment.
I think at this point of the year, guys, it's good to do a weekly, maybe even almost daily update on the Cup futures market, especially now that we're past the trade deadline. I know we talked about it a little bit last week, but now we're just getting more of a file on these teams. Vegas has actually dropped now 10-1 to 11-1 over at Bet365. I know Meany, you and I agreed that was a pretty good number at 10-1. So hey, if we liked it at 10-1, we like it even more at 11-1. Winnipeg starting to get a little bit more respect here. But anybody jump out to you still? Like, does Florida deserve to be this big of a favorite? I get it. They won last year, but they're not really playing the greatest of hockey right now. Are they slow playing things means? Does Florida deserve to be a 5-1 favorite at the moment?
Probably not. Even though they've been to the Eastern Conference, or they've been to Stanley Cup Finals in back-to-back years, I mean, plus 525 is that's a strong number. Very, very short. And I would probably stay clear of that. I think that they are the team to beat in the Eastern Conference, just given what they did at the deadline, too. And most of these teams picked up some players, but they picked up impactful players. Like, Seth Jones is a star. And you can forget about what he did in Chicago. And then, you know, if Matthew Tkachuk and Brad Marchand are playing come playoff time, it's probably the best top nine in the Eastern Conference. Vegas has dropped, you're right, because of a little bit of a losing streak, but we know how dominant they are at home, and I still believe that they'll lock down the Pacific Division. You can get them at 11-1 now. There is a window open, Nick. I'd like to get your thoughts on the Leafs, but Bet365 hanging 15-1 now and a boost at 18-1. They're 4 points back of the Panthers, but also the Sens are just 4 points behind them from Toronto being a wild card team. They've lost 5 of 6. I look at the large sample size here from January 1st. This is a team that's in the top 10 in terms of allowing goals and allowing shots. And since January 10th, they have the worst penalty kill in the league. I know they've shuffled up some of their lines. I got a little story here for Bob. I was over at my buddy's golf sim the other day, and we were playing TPC Sawgrass, and he's rolling. He's having a great round. He gets the hole 15. He starts chipping sideways. He gets to 17. He puts it in the water. He gets to, you know, the drop zone. He puts it in the water again. I ask him, what the heck happened? You had a good... I'm mentally weak. And that's what I feel the Leafs are. They are just mentally weak. And when I look at them compared to some of the other teams in the East, like Florida and Tampa and Washington, rolling, there's just no real reason for me to back them. But Nick, if you want to get in, now does seem like the time, because there hasn't been a number like this at 15-1 and with the boost at 18-1 to actually jump on Toronto.
I'm into it. I think there's a couple teams that are really, really bored right now. Vegas, Edmonton, Toronto. I know people are going to look at me and, well, you host a show called Leafs Morning Take, and that's the side you're going to take. I'm telling you, the Leafs are going to go in a heater at some point in time. People are going to forget that. I think the number is good. Having said that, Jake, you know this, 1967, the last time the Leafs won a cup. But don't forget, a couple years ago, Keith Tkachuk went on a radio station in Toronto, called that team soft, and the Panthers have been a different team since. So maybe you need a bit of adversity late in the season.
Streaks are made to be broken. Sounds like producer Bobby is in on the Leafs, in on Vegas. I'm with him on Vegas. I don't know about the Leafs, guys, in terms of just that Atlantic. It's so strong. If they played in the Metro, I'd be all over them. I think that they'd be able to go on a nice run through there. Yeah. Just something about that Atlantic side. I don't know. I'm not 100% sold just yet, but Nick, if they show me something down the stretch, I could get roped in. Need to see them start to play that playoff style hockey, though.
The sky's falling right now in Toronto means excellent job. Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 or older. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has concerns about gambling, visit ConnexOntario.ca. Pete Jensen, any final words to wrap here on the pod as we get set for the mailbag edition on Thursday, right?
So back to Buffalo. A lot of guys are injured on that team, right? Cooley,
you're killing me,
Kulik is injured. Norris is already injured. Yeah. Paterka's injured. So look to Jason Zucker tonight. Him to score a goal plus 220. Him to have 3-plus shots plus 165. That's your hidden gem of the night.
Love it, Petey. Thank you. And Jake, any final words, bud?
Seems like a lot of Sabres love happening here. I even brought up the potential of starting UPL with Meany. I needed the vote of confidence, though, for Means. I think I was going to do it anyways. It's early in the week, and Boston doesn't score a whole heck of a lot. So maybe there is some value. The Sabres do this almost every year. They play well in the meaningless games at the end of the season. So the roster's looking a little bit more thin than I would like right now, but maybe there is something to what producer Bobby and Peter spin in here.
It's that time of year. The Buffalo Sabres, even a team like Anaheim, get Pete Jensen very, very frisky, guys. We'll leave it at that. Coming up on Thursday, Week 22 Mailbag Edition. Don't forget to check out the latest edition of NHL Unscripted and Energy Line. Thank you to producer Bob Bender, who didn't want to chime in at all today. For Jay Conn, Pete Jensen, and Chris Meany, I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice, delivered by Skip. Skip to the good part and get groceries, meals, and essentials delivered right to your door on Skip.